Welcome to Golf and the Good Life, your guide to golf travel across the pond. I'm DJ Jones, he's Connor Evers, and today we are returning to our Legendary Links series for a visit to a beloved course in Southwest Ireland. But before we get there, Connor, we have been talking about the return of the golf travel season basically since the last one ended, and it is finally here. How are things up at HMB HQ?
Deej, appreciate the introduction. It's a pleasure to be with you and chat on today's episode. But you are right. We've been talking about this going on for, season's just a few months away, and bang, here we are. Groups are already traveling and enjoying golf and good life across the pond. And it'll get ramped up once we get more into the busy seasons of, latter half of May and into the rest of the summer. But looking forward to some of our groups traveling here in April. So everything's good here at HQ, DJ.
Well, and it's a great week, of course. As we're recording this, it's Masters Week. So it's kind of a double whammy for us. We've got the season starting and the Masters. So at this time where we're supposed to be ultra focused on everything happening with our trips, we are utterly distracted, but thankfully we've got both things covered, if you will. So speaking of the Masters, today's episode, as I mentioned, we are coming back to our Legendary Links series for a visit to Lahinch Golf Club. And the reason I say speaking of the Masters is we felt that the timing was right for this one, given Alistair McKenzie's connection with both Lahinch and Augusta National. We'll get into the Lahinch part a little later, but Connor, this is kind of your old stomping ground, Southwest Ireland, given your stint at Adair Manor that we've talked about in the past. Before we kind of dive into the history and everything, what do you love about Lahinch?
Yeah, it's just a really special place. As I've talked about on past episodes, I love quirkiness. I like the blind shots. I like it being as completely opposite and different as you could potentially find here in the States. There's not like a ton of blind shots, but there are a few at Lahinch. And we'll talk about the goats, but I think that's one of those other bullet points, and maybe in bold and underlined, that I would also add on there. I'm not even going to go into the details. I'm just gonna we'll chat about it later in the podcast about the goats too. But the holes meander through some dunes, and I think it also takes a few visits and a few times to play the course to really understand it. Apparently, be some other courses where everything is just kind of right out in front of you. But I would also advise taking a caddy when you're there, just because of the little bit of quirkiness and blind shots we'll get into. But it's just really special. Also really close to the Cliffs of Moher, one of the big touring places as well. So it's just great all around. And I think today's episode that DJ and I will explain why it's special to both him and I.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head on a lot of things. Obviously, yes, a caddy is absolutely essential at Lahinch, especially your first time through, like you said, given those couple of blind shots. But, Lahinch, it's one of those places that you hope that more people learn about it. And at the same time, you hope that fewer people learn about it, because you want to almost kind of keep it to yourself. And obviously, that's virtually impossible these days, given that it's a mainstay of the top 50 in the world on most of any list that's worth reading. I think golf.com has it at number 37 right now, and rightfully so. But, the course has a long and rich history that I'm going to kind of dive into now. I'll try to keep it as concise as possible, but it goes back to 1892. And the story of Lahinch is actually tied to the Black Watch Regiment in the British Army. That regiment has traditionally been a largely Scottish regiment. And so they were stationed in nearby Limerick. And of course, you have a bunch of gents from Scotland and that said, well, we need something to do. Let's build a golf course. And so Lahinch was born. It started as a 9-hole course. They brought in old Tom Morris a few years later to, redesign and extend the course. And he said upon finishing that it was, quote, the finest natural course I have ever seen, which is pretty high praise given everywhere else that he wound up working around that time. But it was the popularity of the club in the, say, late 1800s, early 1900s was largely tied to the railroad and a nearby hotel that kind of made it a popular holiday destination. And in the 1920s, as that popularity, you know, was kind of pushing, you know, visitors to the club, they brought in, as we mentioned, Dr. Alistair McKenzie for a redesign of the cost. They spent £2,000, which back then had to be a monstrous sum of money. And the same thing, kind of similar to what old Tom Moore said, Alistair McKenzie said, quote, "La Hinch will make the finest and most popular golf course that I believe anyone else ever constructed." Again, this is the guy that gave us the course they're playing this week, not to mention Cypress Point and some others around the country. So, you know, pretty high praise from two pretty notable guys in terms of golf course architecture at that time. But you fast forward to the 1990s. Throughout the decades in between, most of the work that Alistair McKenzie did was lost. Either some greens were lost to the sea, others were softened to make them a little more friendly, I guess is how I would put it. But in the 90s, Dr. Martin Hawtrey was brought in to complete yet another redesign, bring back some of that McKenzie stuff to the course, and kind of left it largely as it is to this day. He incorporated some of those dunes that you just mentioned, Connor, that are closer to the sea as well. And along the way, they also built a second course. It's known as the Castle Course. It gets its name from the ruins of Doe Castle. Then the course kind of meanders right around those ruins. And the grounds surrounding that castle are said to be haunted. I think that kind of applies to most castles, but that's just me. But there's also, supposedly, the legend says that there's a tunnel that was built under the castle that led out to the sea that was filled with valuables and other things. Never found that tunnel. So, you know, one day they might go digging at La Hinch and find a bunch of buried treasure, I guess. Beyond the evolution of the course, it's also held some pretty prestigious events through its time. The South of Ireland Amateur Championship was started way back in 1895, and it remains a pretty prestigious event. Graham McDowell, Paul McGinley both won. I think Padraig made the final a couple different times. It's just known as the South these days, and it still continues, which is pretty cool. But then you've got the Irish Open that was there back in 2019. It was so cool to see La Hinch get its turn in the sun. You know, TV golf over here, and you've got La Hinch was really neat back then. And to watch the pros play the Dell and some of those other holes, John Rahm dismantled the place, shot 62 somewhere along the way in route to victory. So pretty cool overall. And like you said, Connor, just a truly special place. And it's a place that, you know, sometimes these courses, they're built and they become like this museum. They're just this snapshot in time from the moment they debuted. And La Hinch is sort of the opposite of that. It has continued to evolve through the decades and since, you know, the late 1800s. But two things in particular have remained largely the same for all of that time. And it happens to be two of its most famous holes. You are so much better at talking golf course stuff than I am because you remember it so much better than I am. Walk us through some of the best holes at La Hinch and maybe some of your favorites as well.
Yeah, definitely, DJ. And thanks again for kind of our history lesson, if you will, there throughout La Hinch. And
you're dismissed. You know,
fair. And kind of back to what you said there with the quote there from old Tom, I mean, the finest natural course I've ever seen. I mean, that is like to a T exactly what La Hinch is. It is so natural and you feel like the place has not been touched at all. But yeah, back to the notable holes. I mean, it's literally so hard to like pick out a few notable holes, but and we'll talk about Klondike and Dell, but all of them are just so good. And again, back to my kind of point there, I mean, it takes a, you know, second, third or fourth even visit to really kind of, you know, understand it. But I guess we will talk about some of the notable holes from our perspective. But the first being the fourth hole, which is named Klondike. It's a par five and it's super, super interesting. I've mentioned on the last podcast, I can't even remember which one. I think it may have been the Southwest one, DJ, we're talking about. I think it's the the three-part series. So go back and listen to that to get things outside of Lahinch. But this is a very interesting par five. The fairway is so narrow. You're looking at it, you're like, is this a bowling alley? I mean, it's a little blind. It's kind of meandering, kind of fescue up until the fairway. So you can't really see it, but you can see kind of one up when it goes up to kind of the dunes that are essentially half between the teeing grounds and the green. It's very, very tight. And if you hit the fairway from the tee, it's a really good drive. And the kind of fun thing about the hole is, like I said, back to these dunes, it's a huge dune that blocks essentially half of the hole. So you can hit driver off the tee, but you can either go over the dune. And I don't even remember how tall. Do you have any thoughts of how tall you think the dune is? You got to go over, DJ.
I mean, 20 feet, maybe.
I was going to say 20 to 30 feet.
I mean, the guy you'll talk about the guy that when the gent stands on top of the hill, it feels like it's two or three of him high.
Yeah. So it's hill. I mean, it's literally, I mean, like I said, you have a caddy and there is like a white stone marker that's on top of the dune that like, that's the line you need to go to essentially go towards the green or towards the layup area. You can also go around it, but if you're a right-handed player, I'd definitely try to hit a draw because you might not find your golf ball after you hit the second one. I said in the last podcast and I was out there with, at the time, my past coworker, Aoife. We both worked at Adair Manor. It was just her and I playing. And I hit my drive just left of the fairway. Again, really hard tee shot to hit. The ball's below my feet as a right-handed player. And I hit a really good hybrid. I have got absolutely no clue. I don't even think I had a yardage book. I'm just out there just enjoying it and taking it all in. And I walk up over the dune. And I mean, at this point in time, the hill man, which he's the guy that actually there's a little hut on the other side of it that he'll stay up there and kind of marshal groups through and say, hey, the group's off, you could hit. And we'll kind of play as again, marshal will tell you where your golf ball is too, which is nice. Another cool feature of the hole, but we were playing at 3-4 PM on a weekend. So the hill man was not out that time. So I hit my shot, go up. Can't even find my golf ball at all. And it actually went over the road. There's a road that's right behind the green. And someone, a local person, brought my golf ball back. So rubber the green went up and played it from there, which is fun. So it's just a really, really fun hole. To get a better perspective, and even the holes I'll talk about in the future too, I'll go onto the Lahinch website and they've got some flyover views. It's the coolest place, and one of the coolest holes too. And then kind of next up is the next hole. This front nine is just incredible, guys. The fifth hole is Dell. So you play the par five, the fourth, and then the fifth actually comes literally back kind of towards the fairway. So literally comes back towards you. As the name suggests, the green sits in a dell, so it's also another blind shot. Depending on the wind and what tees you're playing, if there is no headwind, I mean, a lot of times it's a wedge, it's a pitching wedge or so, 130, 140 yards, and you're going over another huge dune mound, and it is completely blind, and you have absolutely no clue where your ball will be until you kind of walk up. So again, there's another white marker that kind of shows where the pin location is for the day as well. But I think the other thing with Lahinch is like kind of goes back to our legendary links on Prestwick, because there's a little bit of blindness when it comes to Lahinch, is don't go into it thinking that you're going to see everything in front of you. Put your ego aside, you know, everything is just, it's just a fun day. Again, it's very little quirky, but just got to bring it all in, which is good. Back to again, next hole would be the sixth, which is the next one. Front nine is really good. It is one of the most interesting par fours in the game. It's a little bit of an uphill drive, and you can't really see the landing area. So again, a little bit blind, but again, it goes back to us having a caddy and hit it about 250 yards from off the tee. And once you kind of get up to the landing area into the fairway, the hole starts kind of meandering to the left. And after about 250, 275 yards from the fairway, everything kind of drops down and it's all kind of fescue rough. There's also kind of a random bunker in the middle, and the green kind of goes down from the landing area, and you've got kind of the ocean in the background. So it's a really sweet backdrop, and it's just a really also hard hole to hit in two. So again, four, five, and six, I mean, might be one of the best three-hole stretches in GB&I. And I'll finish with the 11th. I mean, all the par threes are just great, but the 11th is really cool. Also kind of a drop shot par three, depending on the tees and the wind. I mean, you get anything from mid iron to a longer iron or even a wedge if you're very downhill, but very picturesque with the ocean in the backdrop. So again, you're within the dunes, but the ocean does come into frame a few times throughout your rounds. It's good. And it's just so hard to find, you know, three or four notable holes, because I feel like they all are at LaHinch, but it's just great. I hope everyone gets to enjoy it. But those are kind of my notable holes, Deej.
Well, that's an awesome tour. And you're right. I mean, 4, 5, 6, you'd be hard pressed to find not only a better run of three holes, or at least a more memorable run of three holes, but to have it be a par three, par four, and par five, you know, checking all three of those boxes. I mean, not to be a little hyperbolic, but the only other course that comes to mind that has that three hole stretch with all three is the one they're playing this week between 11, 12, and 13. So I'm sure there's plenty more. Someone maybe will leave a comment and let us know which ones I'm not thinking of, or maybe you will by the end of the episode. But either way, it's an awesome stretch. And it just, you know, like you say, it just goes from hole to hole and it doesn't slack up the entire time. But one of the things that makes LaHinch special, at least to me, and you mentioned earlier, so I think it's kind of pretty much across the board, is the story of the goats. You know, when you look at LaHinch's logo, the goat is right there, and there's a very good reason for it. And that is that there's basically a small little group of goats that live out on the golf course. They've been there for decades, and they were basically owned by a local caddy. He would bring them to the course while he was working for that day. Well, when he passed away, the goats basically stayed at the golf course, and that now they call it home. But what makes the goats unique to LaHinch is their ability to forecast the weather. The story goes that, you know, way back in the day, 50s or 60s, the clubhouse had a barometer that they used to forecast the weather, or to at least, you know, anticipate, you know, when the weather might change due to a pressure change. And it broke, and the secretary or somebody at the club just wrote on the barometer, "See goats." And the reason for that is the legend goes, if the goats are near the clubhouse, it's going to rain. You better pack your rain gear, you know, because the weather is going to go sideways. If they are out on the course, you're going to get a sunny day and all is going to be good. I say legend, but at LaHinch, they swear by this, that, you know, that this is your best prognosticator for the weather. Our founder and chairman, Sam Baker, told a story once about a guy that showed up to play and the goat was in the clubhouse, like in the men's locker room. And so that was obviously a sign that he probably shouldn't play. They're just built into the fabric of LaHinch these days. You know, when I was there, they were way out on the course last time, although I have been there when they were roaming around up front. So you never really know where you're going to find them, but you absolutely have to check that first. And like I mentioned, they're part of the logo, as is the a thistle, which is another neat callback to the club's origins in connection to Scotland. But that's the story of the famous LaHinch goats. Connor, kind of shifting off the course and putting our business hat back on, if you will, there's might be some folks out there listening who are considering a trip to Southwest Ireland, and LaHinch is near the top of their list, and for very good reason. Walk us through, if you will, some of the tips and maybe the timeline and so forth that goes into planning and some other things they may need to keep in mind when trying to play LaHinch.
Yeah. So the nice thing about LaHinch is, compared to some other courses, like we've talked about in the Southwest podcast, a three-part series, you know, LaHinch is open 7 days a week, but I would say that the best time to play LaHinch is Monday through Friday. And the reason why is, like I said, there are visitor times in the weekends for Saturdays and Sundays, but usually the first starting time is give and take around 3 p.m. or so. So, I mean, you can play it, especially if you are staying in and around the area of, you know, town of LaHinch, or, you know, Adair Manor, or what have you. You know, you can, but you're getting off pretty late on the course, and we'll have a late dinner. So, like I said, it's an option. It's just not ideal. So that's kind of the visitor times. And the course is open around mid-April, the second week of April or so, until about mid-October. So that's usually the timing. And that's also very similar comparatively to the other courses in the Southwest Ireland region as well. As DJ and I have talked about on the podcast, this one and obviously the three-part series too, it's a very popular course. So it does book up very, very fast. And when they do the booking process, it's fairly cyclical from year to year, but they do it on a basis where the whole groups for certain months, and then they will literally book all the groups in for a certain month, and they'll just kind of go through the calendar. So it could be April, then May, then June, and it's not everyone at one time. They go through it on a monthly basis. So if you are trying to book it a little bit later in the year, may take a few more months for you to get it booked in comparatively to a group maybe going in April. The other kind of thing with La Hinch is it's a little bit more challenging to play kind of in the height of the season. And this year, the Palmer Cup is being hosted at La Hinch. So the course is closed the 1st through the 7th of July. It's not happening next year in 2025, but that is kind of one component. And back to DJ and I saying, it's a great course, and there are some great tournaments that are held there. And as DJ also mentioned, the South of Ireland for 2025 is the 22nd through the 27th of July. And then each year there's also a members festival that is played. So essentially the course is closed for all these, but it is the 31st of July until the 17th of August. So August is always, it's always a little bit of a difficulty to plan around from that standpoint. There's also an overseas member guest that's the 22nd through the 24th of August. So there are some gaps in the calendar that you can play in August, but you know, there's a lot of closures during the month. A lot of people are also going to want to play the dates that it's not closed in the month of August. So if you are wanting to play around there, just be very flexible. It's doable. It's just obviously the reason why a lot of folks turn to us as H&B is because we have these dates already and plan around them accordingly. Again, 7 days a week, which is great. You know, if groups do come in the weekends, it's, you know, it could be a place where you play rival day golf. I don't recommend having Lynch right off the bat as a rival day golf, but it is an option if need be. But if you do want to play it, again, I would just get ahead of the curve as soon as possible, because when they start opening up, they go from literally having tee times to being fairly sold out. Again, it goes back to just the popularity of the course, but that's kind of the planning tips.
Well, that's all great stuff. And, you know, the thing to remember, and you kind of touched on it there, is that these are still all, for the most part, private clubs who obviously open their doors to visitors. And it's a very different scenario than here stateside, where the private clubs are have a different philosophy. But all of these clubs being private clubs, they all have their own windows of dates that, you know, the course is unavailable. So you've got to, you know, just navigate around that. And that's where planning early and having that expertise obviously pays dividends. But this being Golf and the Good Life, we can't wrap the episode without at least talking a little about some of the great stuff nearby that is off the golf course at La Hinch. You know, Connor, you already mentioned the Cliffs of Moher, one of the most popular tourist attractions in Ireland for good reason. It's absolutely stunning. If you are staying nearby, which you probably are if you're playing La Hinch, get there early or go late. One or the other is generally our advice. The Cliffs of Moher, it is so popular and it attracts so many tour buses, some of them driving all the way across Ireland from Dublin, that the middle of the day can be pretty chaotic. So go early. You'll have it, you know, largely to yourself. I enjoy doing the drive through the Burren. It's kind of this lunar volcanic landscape. I don't really know how else to describe it, but you can sort of do this this counterclockwise loop starting from La Hinch that then ends at the Cliffs of Moher and then, you know, come back into town. It's absolutely gorgeous. And again, go early. You'll have the road largely to yourself. In town, the 19th is a kind of a favorite stop pub-wise. I think in the Southwest Ireland episodes, I talked about watching hurling while at the 19th. Great pub and an even better sport. And then in terms of accommodations, La Hinch is a pretty small town, so you got to keep that in mind. But the Vaughan Lodge is literally, you know, you can hit a wedge from there to the tee. Our friends there, just awesome in terms of the warm welcome and hospitality. And then in the nearby area, you have Doonbeg and Adair Manor, two outstanding five-star properties that are within short striking distance. So you've got plenty of great options there. But overall, when it comes to Lahinch, it's just about enjoying where you are and the scenery. I mean, those West Coast sunsets are just absolutely incredible if you catch it on a sunny day, and soak them up and have the camera ready as you should on the course as well. But Connor, man, I think we've covered a lot of ground here when it comes to Lahinch. It's probably something we could keep talking about if given the chance, but we need to wrap this up and watch the par three contest. Any closing thoughts before we do?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there with the good life. I mean, if you do have one of those afternoon tea times at Lahinch, we like to say the Cliffs of Moher is the perfect pairing. So, if you do have a tea time right around 3 o'clock, hey, and if you are staying at Doonbeg or Adair, it gives you some time to eat breakfast and really chill out in the morning. Maybe do an activity kind of during the mid to late morning, I should say, and then go up, do the Cliffs of Moher tour, and then play Lahinch. And if you do have that afternoon time, you're probably going to get a pretty solid sunset. You're going to love it. And then the other thing I would also add there is, after your round, try and get a pint of Guinness on top of above the clubhouse. They have kind of a little bit of a rooftop area that overlooks. It's great. It's great up there, and enjoy yourself. But yeah, it's a great, great, great time. Lahinch is fantastic, and everyone will enjoy it.
Awesome stuff all around. Well, like we said, obviously a lot of ground covered in this episode. We will link to a lot of things that we talked about during the episode in the show notes. As always, if you've got any questions, send us an email, goff@haversham.com, or you can DM us on social media. But otherwise, thank you for tuning in. We will be back again soon with another episode. But until then, we wish you plenty of golf at its finest and life at its best.